Now I've been a roaming sailor and I've plowed the raging main. Now I'm back in England, I'll never go away again. I was once shipwrecked.
It's quite emotional to hear my granddad's voice after all these years. He was 83 when we made this recording of what he called his Navy song. He'd always perform it at our family gatherings. Much of my grandfather's life was spent at sea, and as a child I thought of him as a sort of cross between Sinbad the Sailor and Popeye. He was careful never to disabuse me of my fantastical notion that his life had been anything other than one long, fun-packed cartoon.
Some coconuts and sand, some cat stewed feet and other things I could not understand.
At the close of the First World War, when he was just 19, my grandfather had a photograph of himself taken in his naval uniform. In the sepia postcard I have of that print, a young man, his blonde hair swept back, stares at the camera with a half-smile. He'd started the war as a 15-year-old pauper boy, not quite 5 foot in height. He'd returned 6 inches taller, his head rich with sailors' songs and East African adventures, and a German bullet lodged firmly in his left arm.
Record of service in the Royal Navy, William George Kirby. Date of entry, boy service, 1st of March, 1915. Physical description, height, 4 feet 11 inches. Chest, 30 and a half inches.
Then when the grandma died, he was sent to his Aunt Lily. Now, it was there, at age 11, that he met and worked for Lady Jarvis White Jarvis as a boot boy and in the garden. She organised sending him to Arethusa for naval training.
Well, my name is Barbara Steele and I'm the eldest child, eldest of three, of William George Kirby.
He didn't say anything very much about starting in the Navy. He just took everything on board, as they say.
It's incredible, isn't it? I mean, you imagine now an 11-year-old, a 12-year-old being sent to train in the Navy.
But what options were there, you see? This was an opportunity for him. He signed on for 12 years. So his first real ship was at age 15, and he called it the Carpet Run, which was boom defence, stopping submarines going up the river in the Immingham area. After that, he went on to HMS Vengeance to Africa.
This is the log of HMS Vengeance, 1st of January 1916. En route to St. Vincent, heavy seas. 5th of January, boys aired bedding, a.m. Boys paid, p.m. Heavy seas.
One of the things that I also inherited from him, I think, heavy seas are horrible, so I took solace in the fact that I was sharing my grief with him. My name's Christopher Steele. I'm recently left the Navy after 35 and a half years, having reached the rank of Commodore, and I am the eldest grandson of William George Kirby. I was interested in the Navy because of the stories that my grandfather told me. I must say that, yes, that was probably the main reason that I joined.
15th of August 1916, Bagamoyo. Vengeance fired upon from beach.
They went effectively to Zanzibar and Tanzania and were involved in quite a number of actions off the coast, including one where they captured one of the German guns that was taken ashore. But yes, he was ashore with one of the raiding parties, and we believe that's when he was shot.
Now the next thing we had to do was try and get away, but the Indians, they surrounded us and begged of us to stay, so we built a raft.
Did he ever tell you about the boy who killed himself?
No, I don't remember that one.
He told me that somebody had killed himself in the boiler room, and he had to be lowered because he was the smallest boy on ship, and he was lowered to fish out the body. Oh, can you imagine it? 15.
No. And a good ship, Invincible, picked me up, and here I am, right away from the colour of
He grew up very quickly. He would not have been treated as a boy. He would have had a very strict regime within which to work. There were plenty of beatings, very little time ashore, quite a long time away, but it was harsh for a reason, in that they were at war, but a hard life, undoubtedly.
Vengeance fires to right of town, landing party occupies governor's house, and hoisted Union Jack.
It says here, I found another little note that said that when they were on Vengeance, they captured two places in Tanganyika. He seemed very proud of that.
But look,
took prisoners with hands.
Hands to throats.
Gosh, took prisoners with hands to throats.
Yes.
And look, he was given a pistol and sword. So yes. That's incredible, he told you that. So that must be the first time he used
it
a pistol
been,
or a sword.
It? Yep. Yes, it must.
Because that's stuck in his mind.
Yes.
The Navy became my grandfather's family. But ironically, it also reunited him with the little real family he had.
His brother was in the Anglian Regiment of the King's Royal Rifles, and I don't know if it was when he was in that or when he was in the Dragoon Guards, but they met one day in Turkey at Constantinople playing football in the middle of the pitch. He had no idea they were playing against each other, playing on the opposite side. But how they recognised each other when it must have been 11 when they last met, goodness knows. But they did, yes.
Do we know who won?
Unfortunately not, so I suspect the army must have won.
What a shame. Probably cheated.
Yes.
1st of May, 1918. Dunkirk. Gun crews at defence stations. Thick fog. 6th of May, 1918. Struck by shell from German aeroplane. All hands on guns.
Grandad told me some of his stories when I was staying with him, fretting about my impending A-level exams. It didn't occur to me at the time that the sailor he was describing, being shelled at Dunkirk, being shot at in Zanzibar, had been a child, the same age or younger than I was then. William George was pensioned ashore shortly after his 40th birthday, but just 2 days later he was remobilised to fight the Second World War.
It's only years later that you realise just what he achieved and what he coped with. I am proud still.
Now I've been a roaming sailor and I've flown the raging main. Now I'm back in England, I'll never go away.
It is amazing what was being done by ordinary people. And I think it's something that we forget at our peril. He was a small lad and then a small man, but only in stature. He was a huge individual as far as I'm concerned.
All the riddle I know, take it out of that.